There was another question. Yes.
My question is, how do you tell the difference between genuine insight and conceptual, as you say, conceptual fabrication? Because I think yesterday you said something like insight can come from, I think you used the word like disentangling the causes or something like that. And that really, that resonated with my experience, because sometimes I feel like, I feel like I have insight when it's like, this happened, and then I'm here now, and it feels like the causal relationship between events makes me feel like I have some insight, but how do you know that this is an insight that you're having, or if it's not just some, it's just some fabrication? Does that make sense?
It does. It's a good question. Usually the measure is that if it's a genuine insight, that dukkha will diminish or disappear to some degree. It's also one of the benefits of having spiritual friends, you know, running things past. If it's an insight that you can, if you can put it into words, to run that past some like-minded person that knows you, saying, well, this is what I've just been experiencing. I'm seeing things in this way. How does that sound to you? And see what kind of feedback you get. And if they go like, really? Are you okay? You know, then, oh, maybe that's not so trustworthy. But I would say that the only reliable measure is the genuine diminution or disappearance of dukkha. That's the only reliable measure. Having a nice idea where everything lines up logically according to your conceptual understanding is often not that trustworthy. I speak as one who loves neat patterns,
yeah,
and having all the boxes joined up and everything kind of perfectly arranged. I love that. But then it's usually not the whole picture. You're fitting things into your own preferred conceptual map. And so that's not always that trustworthy. So I would say, many people have asked that question in the past. And I think it's well worth considering. But that absence of dukkha, that sense. And when I say that, I mean, in a way, that felt sense of orderliness. One of the ways of describing dukkha is that feeling of it shouldn't be this way, or the universe is out of balance, that it's not fair, or it's out of order. And so we can be experiencing physical pain, but not be creating any dukkha around it. So it's still physically painful, or painful mental state, but the mind not complaining about it, not explaining it, not negotiating with it, not identifying with it, but just, here it is. So that orderliness, that Dhamma Niyamata, I feel, is a very, very skillful, very helpful quality to reflect upon, that sense of, yeah, here's the cause, here's the effect. Everything is working perfectly. Ouch! You know, if it's a physical pain, it does hurt, but there's not that feeling of wrongness, or it shouldn't be this way-ness. That makes sense. Sure?
I suppose is the only arbiter of that experience is yourself. So it's kind of like you'll know when you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody can tell you if it's right or wrong. The fact that it can't be verified intuitively makes me uncomfortable in some way, because I could see how that would lead to delusion or falsity. And does that make sense at all?
It does. Essentially, our own citta is the final arbiter of truth. But having spiritual friends is very helpful. Lumpur Sumedho often talks about how when he was a young bhikkhu, one day he sort of summoned up the courage to ask Lumpur Cha whether Lumpur Cha thought he was a stream enterer or not. And Lumpur Cha gave him a pretty bad time. He said, Sumedho, if you're asking me, you're still in doubt. So what does that tell you? So he said, don't ask me, ask yourself. I think he was teasing, but also giving him good advice. There's a phrase that's used quite often, being independent of others in the teacher's dispensation. And when we talk about going beyond doubt as the second of the 10 fetters, the 10 samyojana, so self-view, sakkayaditti, is the first one, vichikicca is the second one, and that's doubt about what is the path and what is not the path. So that when someone has realized stream entry, then That's one of the phrases that the Buddha often uses, or used in the suttas. They're independent of others in the teacher's dispensation. And so that you don't depend upon that input from others. Even if someone says, well, you know, you don't really know much, you haven't had much success in your practice, say, okay, that's your impression, that's fine, you know. But if there's a knowing within your own heart that there's a lot less dukkha now than there used to be, or that other people's judgment might be in one way or another, but that internal knowing is a kind of self-reliance, not in an egotistical way. I mean, again, it's like, I'm fine. I'm fully accomplished. You know, don't you tell me where you think I'm at. You know, I'm fine. I'm kind of amplifying it a bit, but that kind of tone would indicate work is still to be done.
Dispensation. In the teacher's dispensation, what does that mean exactly?
So the Buddha sasana, the religion, the Buddha's religion. Dispensation doesn't mean like a dispensary, like a chemist, apothecary shop. The Buddha's dispensation is the Buddha sasana, the Buddhist religion, the Buddha's path. It's an odd use of the word, but it's common to us, one of our vernacular usages. So it's not the Buddha's dispensary, like the chemist shops.